You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Next up this hour, how to mend a broken heart. After 16-year-old Dimitri Bonville was shot in the heart with a nail gun, he had a massive heart attack following an operation to remove the nail, and that heart attack left him with 25% of his heart functioning. Doctors had few options. Dimitri could be put on a list for a heart transplant, or the doctors could try an experimental new treatment using the patient's own stem cells to try and heal his heart. And that's what they did. Dimitri and his parents decided to go for this experimental treatment. And joining me now to talk about the treatment and Dimitri's prognosis is the doctor who developed the experimental protocol. Dr. Cindy Grinds is a cardiologist and director of the Cardiac Catheterization Lab at Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan. She joins us by phone. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for asking me.
How is the patient doing?
Dimitri's doing fine.
That's terrific. Tell us what happened.
Well, he was at a construction site where he was working part-time, and he and another boy, who I believe was around age 20, were playing around with this nail gun, and the boy intentionally shot him in the chest.
Oh.
Yeah, Dimitri was smart enough not to pull the nail out, because if he pulled the nail out, his heart could have bled to death. But he was seen in the emergency room. It was found to be penetrating the heart, and he underwent open-heart surgery to have it removed and the heart stitched back up. Unfortunately, within the next day or two, it was discovered that he had sustained a massive heart attack, probably due to inflammation or perhaps some bleeding and compression of the coronary artery, which was in the vicinity of the nail hole. Since this heart attack wasn't recognized for at least a day or two, there was very little chance at salvaging his heart muscle. And when heart attacks occur naturally, it's usually due to an occlusion of the coronary artery that provides the blood, oxygen, and nutrients to the heart muscle. And if you can open that up in the first few hours of the heart attack, the patient may have some recovery of function.
Mm-hmm.
But in Dimitri's case, it was discovered so late that even after we opened up the artery, it was probably a day or so after the heart attack. And subsequent testing indicated that he was likely to have virtually no recovery of his heart muscle.
Well, so you're faced with these options of either waiting for a new heart or trying something new.
Right. Now, if someone breaks a bone or cuts his skin, the body is able to repair that. And the way they repair it is by the cells dividing and growing to cover up the damaged area. But unfortunately, the heart is one tissue where the cells do not divide. And when a newborn is born, the cells that they die with are the same cells that they are born with. There's virtually no replication or repair of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the situation that we were left with.
And so you went to an experimental technique.
Right. There had been some information based on animal studies and actually a few preliminary results over in Europe in patients where they were using patient stem cells to repair the heart. Now, in some of these situations, they took stem cells from other donors, and in some situations, they took the stem cells from the patient's own bone marrow. And in general, a stem cell is a very immature cell that typically is present in the fetus or in a newborn. And these small immature cells are capable of developing into any cell in the body. So if you take a stem cell, it could turn into a blood cell or a brain cell or a muscle or a bone cell. And that's the beauty of stem cells. Now, of course, there's been a lot of controversy about using stem cells from fetal tissue, and it's actually against the law in the United States. Using the patient's own stem cells hasn't really been done too much because once a patient ages beyond just a newborn, there aren't very many stem cells that remain. And those that remain are hidden in the bone marrow, and they're very hard to isolate and culture to have an adequate amount to be functional. What we did in Dimitri's situation is give him medication to stimulate the production of these stem cells. And we got this idea from leukemia research. You know, when a patient has cancer or leukemia, what happens is that their cells are affected, the bone marrow is affected, and sometimes this particular medication is given to try to stimulate the production of cells from the bone marrow. And it's worked in the cancer situation, so we thought we would try it in this patient. And what we did is we gave a 4-day course of this medication, and it stimulated the bone marrow to produce all types of cells. But among those cells, there were more stem cells. And then when the blood counts in the circulating blood became very, very high, what we did is called leukapheresis. And that means that we put it in a basically a large IV line and drained his blood into a machine where these stem cells were separated, and the remainder of the blood was infused back into Dimitri. This took about 4 hours, and we were able to achieve millions of stem cells. We then took those stem cells and infused them back into his heart. And the way we did that is we brought him to the heart catheterization laboratory and put a catheter right down into his coronary artery and infused the stem cells down the coronary artery while it was occluded with a balloon. And the reason we did that is because we wanted the stem cells to stay in the vicinity of that artery and the heart attack, so they would have, rather than being washed out into the circulation.
So did the stem cells migrate to the damaged area and start repairing it?
Well, that's what's supposed to happen. You know, when you're dealing with a human, though, it's impossible to tell for sure how many of the cells are still there because, you know, you would have to do biopsies and things like that to try to isolate these cells. But based on some animal experiments that had been done, we do know that the artery that caused the heart attack is damaged, the heart muscle is damaged, and when in that situation, these cells are much more likely to remain in the area of the heart muscle damage, and we're optimistic that these cells did in fact stay there.
Why? What makes you optimistic?
Well, just based on some animal studies that show that the cells do tend to remain there. The cells act as in areas where they're most needed, and in the area of a damaged heart, the cells perceive that there's some replication or repair that's necessary. Mm-hmm. And also, we did follow Dimitri, and what we found is over the course of at least the first week, he did have some improvement in his heart muscle. In fact, he started out with about 25% capacity, and now he's up to about 35%.
Wow. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about using stem cells in this experiment to repair this youngster's heart. As far as you know, is this the only time this has been done on somebody?
Well, there have been a few cases over in Europe where they infused stem cells into humans, and the way they did it, though, was quite differently from ours. They took the patient's bone marrow, and when they do bone marrow aspirates, they have to put these large needles into the patient's bone, usually in the pelvic area, and perform multiple punctures to try to suction out the bone marrow. And then the bone marrow doesn't contain very many cells, so then they have to send it off for culturing techniques. Even after culture, you don't get as many stem cells as what we were able to produce. But in some of these preliminary studies that were done in Europe, they did find that there was some improvement in both blood flow as well as heart muscle function.
Is there any way to know, you know, whether this was the cause of the increase in the heart capacity?
Well, it's possible that the heart can improve a little bit on its own after recovery from a heart attack. But in Dimitri's situation, we had performed specialized testing, including magnetic resonance imaging of the heart, as well as some other tests that indicated that he would be very unlikely to have any recovery. In addition, his EKG and echo indicated that he was likely to be developing an aneurysm of his heart. And that's why we were particularly concerned about his recovery and thought of using the stem cell technique.
Mm-hmm. So do you think now, since this has shown at least, as they say in medicine, first do no harm, right, that other patients might be candidates?
Oh, absolutely. With regard to doing no harm, we thought that this was probably the least risky procedure for Dimitri. You know, his other option, of course, would have been to have a heart transplant, mm-hmm. but as you know, a heart transplant is a major surgical procedure, having to remove the patient's heart. In addition, it's very difficult to find a donor. Mm-hmm. There aren't that many donors that could be appropriate for Dimitri. It's extremely expensive to do that. And then since you're giving a foreign tissue, the patient is left with a lifetime need to have immunosuppressive agents. And what that is medications, basically to suppress your immune system so your body will not reject or attack the foreign tissue that's been transplanted.
Mm-hmm. So what about older patients, you know, people just with heart disease? Would they be candidates for this?
Well, actually, that's who the protocol was initially written for. I specialize in heart attack research, mm-hmm. and, you know, we developed this protocol for naturally occurring heart attacks that tended to be very large, and the patient would have, you know, minimal recovery of their heart muscle function. We never really thought that we'd be treating a 16-year-old. In fact, the protocol states that patients have to be over age 18 to even be considered. Now, we were able to get a compassionate release to use in Dimitri's situation, and it required a release both to treat a 16-year-old as well as a compassionate use in somebody, you know, who had what we call an iatrogenic or a heart attack that was caused by trauma as opposed to a natural heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can get a phone call or two in. 1-800-989-8255. Lee in Big Piney, Wyoming. Hi, Lee. Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a son that has aortic stenosis, and I was wondering, he's 9 years old, and I was wondering if any stem cells can treat him in the future. And if so, is there any can we get him in and get some taken out where we can save him, I guess?
Well, in the situation of aortic stenosis, really what that is a blocked valve, and it's restricting the ability of the heart to pump the blood forward into the circulation. When one talks about replacing something like that, it usually requires a surgical procedure with an artificial valve, or sometimes you use a valve called a homograft, which is actually taken from somebody who has died. However, they are developing new valves which can be implanted in the cardiac catheterization laboratory, where you don't really require a surgical incision. And those have been tested overseas and will be in trials in the United States next year. With regard to stem cells, though, you know, the stem cells wouldn't necessarily repair this valve like they would a heart attack, because he was born with this valve problem. It's not like it was a damaged type of thing that the stem cells would migrate to and turn it into a normal valve. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that would work in his situation.
I know that you're a heart specialist, but, you know, the obvious question would be, can you use this with other organs in the body?
Well, it's possible. Now, we've received a lot of calls about kidney transplants and basically people who want the whole organ to be regenerated. And, you know, stem cells can't be expected to do that per se. But if you have a massive amount of damage, for example, in the brain or in other tissues, it is possible that stem cells may be able to repair that damage and create a more normal situation.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be watching. You're going to be watching the patient for a while. Watching Dimitri, and what do you expect to see? Hopefully, if you think this is successful.
Well, we would expect that it would take about 3 months before we see major effects, because it would take that long for the stems to grow, for the stem cells to grow and divide and turn into heart muscle as well as new blood vessels. And so, what we plan to do is see him back at 1 month, 3 months, and 6 months. And obtain testing to try to figure out how well his heart muscle is doing.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that you have to see a steady growth of new heart muscle?
Well, we hope to see that. You know, the heart muscle doesn't immediately improve, and we expect that it will start improving predominantly between that 1 and 3 month interval. But we plan to follow him long term, mm-hmm. Even out to 2 years, to see what mm-hmm. his capacity is and to see how well he's doing.
Let me see if I can get another call or two in here. Is it Deep D in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know how big this area that you were repairing was and how many cells you needed for it.
Well, the area of the heart was the entire front of his heart. We estimated that it involved probably about half of his heart at least. The number of cells that were infused were actually in the area of about 50 to 60 million cells. And the way we determined that is when we separated the cells from the leukapheresis machine, they were sent for specialized testing to figure out how many stem cells were in there. And there were somewhere between, I think, 43 and 66 million stem cells based on the various tests that were performed. Now, other studies have been done using a smaller amount of stem cells because, as I mentioned earlier, it is harder to isolate the stem cells from the bone marrow unless the bone marrow has been stimulated somehow.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about stem cells and using in possibly in repairing Dimitri's heart this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Would it be possible to tag the stem cells somehow so you can see where they have migrated to?
Well, sometimes you can add a radionuclide marker to cells and make that determination. Clearly, if you're doing an animal study, they have specialized stains that can isolate them. But we're just in the very beginning stages of using the stem cells, and we weren't smart enough to figure out how to tag them and detect exactly where they were migrating.
So anybody suggested this at all? Because we have a lot of smart listeners, you know, who call up and tell you exactly how to do it.
Yeah, actually, you know, we are working in an area that's so brand new that anytime you make a modification to a cell, it becomes a very extensive FDA approval process, and there's some, you know, legal aspect to that as well. Our particular protocol we thought was very simple, since all we did was mechanically isolate the cells and then reinfuse them. We did not do anything to alter the cells or culture the cells. And so that's why it's a very easy protocol to follow.
Wait, so then this is not really considered an experiment.
Oh, it's absolutely an experiment.
It is an experiment.
Every time you do something that you're not convinced of the results and it's not FDA approved, it's considered experimental. We had to obtain consent from Dimitri and from his family, as well as from our hospital board that approves research studies.
Mm-hmm. And so are you now going to be doing more of these?
Yes, we're in the process of trying to develop what we call a multi-center study, where we're inviting other centers to participate in this research. And what we're going to target are naturally occurring heart attacks that come in. They either come in too late to open the vessel and salvage the heart muscle, or they have some other reason why their heart is severely damaged from this heart attack. And what we're planning to do is randomize, or, you know, kind of like drawing numbers out of a hat, where half of the people would get the stem cell therapy and the other half would get conventional care. And that's really the only thing you can do to conclusively prove that the stem cells are beneficial.
Would you also be looking for chest injuries to other teenagers here?
Well, that's not something that we're looking for. And I think what happened to Dimitri is actually extremely rare. Now, sometimes you hear about the chest injury. It was often in the days of car accidents before airbags were widely used. We often saw steering wheel injuries into the chest with subsequent heart damage. But what happened with Dimitri with a puncture is very rare, and we're not seeing the steering wheel injuries very much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Grimes, good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for taking time to talk with us. And please come back with some more good news when you can.
Okay. Goodbye.
Dr. Cindy Grimes is a cardiologist and director of the Cardiac Catheterization Lab at Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan. And she was talking about some interesting new research with Dimitri Bonville, who was shot in the heart with a nail gun and used stem cells to try to repair it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to switch gears again. When we come back, we're going to take on a whole new subject, and stay with us. We'll be right back, and don't go away. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.